We've been using Galatians as our basic point in this lesson. And the problems that the church in Galatia had with people wanting to bring in and demanding that they bring in the old law, and Paul saying that this is not godly, this is fleshly. And in doing so, he brings out a number of sins that illustrate people who are not thinking in a righteous way. Different types of sins. And we are going to continue on talking about, we talk about there were sexual sins and religious sins. But then his next set of sins that he mentions in Galatians 5. In fact, why don't we just go ahead and read that one more time so we get back in mind what we're talking about. In Galatians 5, starting at verse 16, "But I say, walk by the Spirit, that you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I forewarned you, just as I forewarned you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God." As we go on with this list of sins, he mentions enmities. Enmities refer to people who hate one another. They are enemies. Okay. And as we mentioned before, Christians are to love one another. And by that love for each other, they're showing their love for God. If you turn over to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 7. "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. The one who does not love does not know God, for God is love. By this the love of God was manifested in us, that God sent his only begotten Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another." God already showed us love. In response to that, we ought to love each other. But when our mind is focused on worldly things, well, then we become haters of God, and we end up as naturally also starting to hate other people, especially those who represent God. Take a look at Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 and verse 7. "Because the mind set on the flesh is hostile toward God, for it does not subject itself to the law of God, for it is not even able to do so." And so there is a conflict. And Paul goes on to say that it brings about strife. Strife is a word that refers to people who argue or quarrel with each other. The Corinthian church was involved in a lot of strife. They had a lot of arguments with each other, such as who were they following? In 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 10, he said, "Now I exhort you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all agree, that there be no division among you, but that you be made complete in the same mind and in the same judgment. For I've been informed concerning you by my brethren, by Cleo's people, that there are quarrels among you." That was not the appropriate way Christians ought to behave. It does not reflect the fact that God loves us. And such contentions was a sign of their worldliness. In 1 Corinthians 3, in verse 3, it says, "For you are still fleshly, Since there is jealousy and strife among you, are you not fleshly? Are you not walking like mere men? And that's why there is warnings throughout the scriptures against arguing. Not that we cannot talk about and discuss differences. We're talking about people that just plain outright will not agree no matter what happens. In Titus chapter 3 and in verse 9, it says, but avoid foolish controversies and genealogies and strife and disputes about the law, for they are unprofitable and worthless. They don't lead to anything better. Another sin that's mentioned is that of jealousy. And the word here actually is literally zeal. It is referring here to the fanatic. The person who's so zealous for a cause that he cannot even stand the thought of considering another position. He possesses an ideal and he jealously guards it from all detractors. That's the word that's used to describe the high priests and the leaders of the Jews. Take a look at Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5 and verse 17. But the high priest rose up along with all his associates, that is the sect of the Sadducees, and they were filled with jealousy. They were so fanatically attached to their religion that there was just no considering another position. They couldn't even think about them possibly being wrong. It's often connected with strife in the scriptures because a jealous man will argue his position without considering any others. And of course, that leads to disagreements, to arguments, to strife. The zealot thinks he's contending for God, but really all he does is manage to do is contend. In James chapter 3, take a look at verse 13. James chapter 3, and starting at verse 13. Who among you is wise and understanding? Let him show by his good behavior his deeds in gentleness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not be arrogant and so lie against the truth. This wisdom is not that which comes from down from above, but is earthly, natural, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder and every evil thing. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy and good fruits, unwavering, without hypocrisy. And the seed of whose fruit is righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. And there is the core of it. Christians are people who ought to be making peace, not arguing, not striving. Related to that is outbursts of anger. This is a person who feels so passionately about a cause that he's just not able to control his temper. It describes the crowd's reaction to Jesus in Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4 and verse 28. Luke 4 verse 28, and all the people in the synagogue were filled with rage as they heard these things, and they got up and drove him out of the city and led him to the brow of the hill on which their city had been built in order to throw him down the cliff. Here are people who have an outburst of anger. They didn't stop to think. They didn't stop to consider. They just passionately decided we're going to get rid of this guy. So same type of word is also referred to the Greeks in their reaction to the apostles in Acts chapter 19. Acts chapter 19 and verse 28. And when they heard this and were filled with rage, they began crying out, saying, "Great is Artemis of the Ephesians." And the city was filled with confusion, and they rushed with one accord into the theater, dragging along Gaius and Aristarchus, Paul's traveling companions from Macedonia. Again, notice there's really no reasoning consideration. There's no thought. They're just passionately flying off the handle. These are your rioters, your mobs. We have seen this in even our own country in recent years. People who just passionately get worked up over things and never stop to think. This should not describe Christians. This is worldly thinking. Now, disputes. This is a person who does not outwardly show his anger, but involves himself in games of intrigue. He only acts for his own interests, and he backstabs his opponents. Interestingly, this word is used by the Greeks in describing the actions of politicians. Paul uses it to describe those who try to add to his afflictions in Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 16. He said, the latter do it out of love. Let's go back to verse 15. Some, to be sure, are preaching Christ, even from envy and strife, but some also from goodwill. The latter do it out of love, knowing that I am appointed for the defense of the gospel. The former proclaim Christ out of selfish ambition, rather than from pure motives, thinking to cause me distress in my imprisonment. They're not openly opposing Paul. They're just trying to cause him more problems. As Christians, we should never do things from strife. In Colossians chapter 2, look at verse 3. Do nothing from selfish or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourself. And here's the key. That would be the key. How do you avoid these type of problems? Worldly people think only about themselves. They think about their position, their thoughts. That's the most important thing, rather than being concerned about other people and how to best help them. Dissensions. This is a word that describes a person who causes division between people. It's the opposite of unity. So here's a person, instead of bringing people together, pulls people apart by what they do and what they say. Again, it's something that you see, people trying to divide up groups. Usually you start noticing them, they start talking about them versus us. They're causing division instead of saying, the church isn't us. We're all together. In Romans chapter 16 and in verse 17, it says, now I urge you, brethren, keep your eye on those who cause dissensions and hindrances contrary to the teaching which you have learned, and turn away from them. We have to notice when people start to drive a wedge within the congregation. We are trying to pull together so that we might all reach heaven. You don't reach that by driving people out. We do have to stand for the truth. But we should be working together. Related to this is the word factions. It literally means to choose. In application, it's a person who chooses sides. For example, the Sadducees and the Pharisees were religious factions in the Jewish religion. They chose sides. And here's where we really have the us versus them. And Paul warned the Corinthians about dividing into factions. In 1 Corinthians, again, we go back to chapter 1 and verse 10. reading further this time. He says, "Now I exhort you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all agree, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be made complete in the same mind and in the same judgment. For I have been informed concerning you, my brethren, by Cleo's people, that there are quarrels among you. Now I mean this, that each one of you is saying, I'm of Paul, and I'm of Apollos, and I'm of Cephas, and I'm of Christ. Has Christ been divided? Was Paul not crucified for you, was he? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you except Crispus and Gaius, so that no one would say that you were baptized in my name." Here was a congregation that was dividing. And they were basically choosing arbitrary people and saying, "I'm following this person's teaching, that's why we're different." We shouldn't be looking to say we're different. We should be looking for unity. And when you have factions, what often ends up accompanying it is envying. The desire to harm someone because you want what belongs to them. The envy could be over a person's possessions or his position in life. Now, Jesus was handed over to the Romans because of envy on the part of the Jewish leaders. Take a look at Matthew chapter 27. Matthew 27 and in verse 17. "So when the people gathered together, Pilate said to them, 'Whom do you want me to release for you, Barabbas or Jesus, who is called the Christ?' For he knew that because of envy, they had handed him over." Pilate understood. The whole reason they were wanting Jesus killed is because they envied the fact that people followed him. They wanted basically his position. But you know what? It never works that way. You don't gain what somebody else does by getting rid of them. It was also the motivation for those trying to cause Paul harm. Going again back to Philippians chapter 1. And we're going to take note of verse 15. Philippians chapter 1. And in verse 15. "Some, to be sure, are preaching Christ even from envy and strife. And some also from goodwill." Now, Paul leads the set of sins about relationships to also to talk about sins that cause a lack of self-control. Drunkenness, as most of us understand, is a person under the influence of alcohol. Why is that placed right after relationship problems? Because when a person's drunk, they don't have much self-control. They lose the inhibition to say things they ought not to say. And so oftentimes they cause problems, causing strife, arguments, dissensions. And along with this, he mentions then carousing, a riotous party, what we often associate with fraternities. It's the young people that get together and have these drunken parties. They're not drunk all the time. They just have these wild parties. And, of course, those wild parties are often associated with drinking. In Romans chapter 13, and in verse 13, it says, "Let us behave properly in the day, not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual promiscuity and sensuality, not in strife and jealousy." Again, those things should be a part of what defines what a Christian is. They're worldly things. Now, Paul's list is not complete. Never even intended it to be a complete list of all the worldly problems there are. But it's the one that gives us a general idea of the character of the worldly minded. Paul's warning these brethren repeatedly that to engage in such actions will prevent him from reaching heaven. It's not limited just to the Galatians. That's true to us as well. We cannot get to heaven if there's strife, there's sexual sins, if there's drunkenness, any of these things that are going on. We won't make it to heaven. And so if there's any here who wish to leave the world behind and with all of his problems, then there's no better time than right now to put on Christ. For those who are children of God, would like the prayers of your brethren on your behalf, why don't you come forward? We stand and sing the song that was selected.